Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be here. And let me just introduce myself. I'm Dr. Sella, and I would like to introduce my wife very quickly. This is my lovely wife, Daniela. She's Japanese, but born in Brazil, and she's with me today. She won't be able to speak this morning because we have a short time, so I'm the only one speaking this morning, so. And of course, her English is not very well, she's saying, so I'll be speaking this morning. I come here today to talk to you about something about temperance, and I don't come here as a theologian, because I'm not, and I don't come here as a pastor, I come here as a medical doctor, and I wanted to share with you my experience with temperance and what God has been showing me in these past years on this. So we live in a world that is very sick, and we see this every day in our clinics. We see stress, we see diseases, we see mental illness, depression, we see families falling apart, we see pressure. People are being pressured today to do more and more and more. And society is just pressuring us to achieve more and more. And people are getting very sick, and we see this every day. And through inspiration, we know that this state of things happening in humanity now is not by a mistake or it was not by chance. It is because of man and because of our transgressions and because of our wrong habits. So when we break the laws of nature, we are breaking the law of God, and we are not in harmony with the kingdom of God. So this is one of the reasons we see so many diseases and sicknesses in the world today. And God, seeing that in his ultimate love and mercy, and with pity for mankind, he gave us light. He gave us more light. He gave light to shine in darkness. And that's why he gave a light to shine upon health reform. Because God has a plan for mankind. And he wants to be together with his children. He wants us to go back to heaven. He wants to prepare a people. He wants to fit a people for his kingdom. And his objective is to restore his image and his character in us. So this is the story of my life. I was a young medical doctor. I graduated in Brazil in 2006. And in medical school, I decided that I wanted to be atheist. So God was not existence in my life. So I was pursuing everything that the world has to offer. I was going after money. I was going after success. I was going after titles. I was going after high positions and recognition from my peers. And I was drinking. I was smoking. I was occasionally using drugs. And I thought my life was perfect. I have everything that I needed, and I was happy and in the right track. So I decided to come for a residency in medicine in the University of Miami in the United States, because I thought that here I would make the money and would get everything that I needed to be happy. So this is where I was living, you know, right in downtown Miami, South Biscayne Boulevard, playing golf and going to these fancy medical meetings and dinners, you know. And I thought I was in the right track and that my life would be a huge success. But I didn't have God in my life, and something was missing. So I came back from Miami to Brazil, and before I started my specialization, my specialty in the US, I had 9 months that I had to stay in Brazil. And in this 9 months, I was planning to work and to save some money to move to the US. So I went and looked for a job. And 2 days later, I was already employed. And I got a job here, in one of the poorest areas of my country. This is where God put me. And so I came down from downtown Miami to poverty, disease, prostitution, drugs, crime, everything you name it, all the social problems you name it, I was facing there. And I was not used to it. And this is where I met Daniela, my wife. Today she's my wife. When I got there and I started to work as a physician, I started to see how sick people were. People were really sick. Obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol, hypertension, cancer, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, stress. You know the deal. And this is everywhere. We go to Africa, we go to the United States, we go to Brazil, we go to Europe, we go to Australia. Anywhere in the world, the disease are the same. And they are same as the Egyptians had in the past. So there, one day, I was feeling so frustrated because all the medications and the things that I have as a medical doctor, they were not working. I was prescribing, giving the antidepressants, the Prozac, and the Zoloft, and all the medications, and people were not getting better. So I was so frustrated. I was thinking, I studied for 6 years, I got my medical doctorate degree that I wanted, and now I cannot help people. What's the point? So I was really frustrated, and one day I got into Daniela's office to share that with her. And to my surprise, she had her Bible open, and she was studying Sabbath school lesson. So I asked her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm studying the Bible." And I said, "The Bible?" And we started talking, and then she asked me, "Do you want to understand why all this is happening? What's happening to mankind today?" And I said, "Yes, I want." And then she said, "Well, you have to study the Bible, and you have to discover the spiritual world." And I said, yes. Thank God I said yes. The following week, we scheduled the Bible study. I got a call from Miami saying I was accepted in the first position of the university. And we started a Bible study like 3 days later. And we scheduled a Bible study for 1 hour. We stood 5 hours studying. Following week, let's study for more, 1 hour more, 6 hours studying. In 2 weeks, I had covered like half of the basics of the doctrines. And at that time, because we were medical doctors, we found out about the health reform, the health message, and that God had a message to his people in the end times. I was 40 pounds heavier than I am now. I was 220 pounds at that time. I was sleeping at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was always tired. I could run for 1 minute and I would get short of breath. Even though I was a medical doctor and I had all this knowledge about health in my life, I was not practicing it. So what's the point? Sometimes we have all the knowledge, but if we don't put it to practice, it's just knowledge. It doesn't make a difference in our lives. So that was me, I was getting sick. So I decided, and God gave me help, I'm going to change. In 1 month, I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped using the drugs, stopped eating the bad things, sodas and all that I was doing, the meat and the pork, you name it. And my life just changed in 1 or 2 months. Like, I lost 40 pounds. My mind was different. It was clear. My memory was clear. I was going to bed early. I was waking up early. I was praying. It was a totally different and new experience. And I was going to study the Bible, and I was understanding everything. My third Bible study was Prophecies of Daniel and the Sanctuary. And then we decided, if this helps us, if this works, we should do that to our patients. And our patients need to know that. So we decided and we put that in practice, and we started to promote vegetarian food, cooking classes, exercise groups, and what happened to the community? Everything changed. People that were so sick started to get better. They came to our office giving back their medication, saying, I don't need this anymore. The owner of the country store of the market close to the office came to us and said, I never sold so many fruits and vegetables in my life. And the community just changed, and we praise God because of that. And through this experience, I really felt a calling that God is coming soon, and we need to prepare a people for his coming. And this was my mission as a physician, to educate people, to teach people how to be temperate. And this is your mission as ministers of the gospel, because God chose you to be the ministers, to be the pastors of the last church on earth, of the last Christian message that will be preached. You were chosen by God to be the ministers. And the way I behave, the way you behave, has an influence on others. This is a patient that we had 25 years with a migraine every day, taking 8 medications. He was spending almost $2,000 a month in medications. He came to Wildwood for natural remedies. After 40 days, he had only one medication left, half the dose. He went back to Honduras. He looked for a Seventh-day Adventist church, and he said, I went to the United States, I met the Adventist, they taught me how to be temperate. I studied the Bible, and I want to get baptized. This is Africa. We went to Africa in April for a mission trip. We did a health expo for 10 days, teaching people in a city plaza in downtown how to be temperate. 10 days, 510 subscriptions to Bible studies in 10 days. It works. It's simple as it gets. We teach people how to be temperate. We clear their minds, and their mind opens to the gospel like you will never see somewhere else. And this is very logical. This is our mind here, our character, right in the center. And everything around it is influencing it. Our study, our friends, medications, music, work, our lifestyle, if we go to bed early or if we go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, if we exercise, if we go out in the sunshine, or if we stay indoors every day, this is all influencing our character. The five senses, what we see on TV, what we read, what we listen to, you know, all our experiences are influencing our character. And this is how the enemy is trying to corrupt mankind indirectly. So our character, there are two things trying to hit our character. One is the Holy Spirit trying to purify it, to cleanse us, to get us ready for Jesus. And the other one is the enemy. And we gotta take care of that. And in our brain, we have several parts of our brain. Every part is responsible for something. And in the frontal lobe, in the frontal aspect of our brain, we have the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe is where our moral choices are made and where we have our willpower. So we need to take good care of our frontal lobe. And that's where self-control, another word for temperance, and willpower, they stay there, both together. Our willpower and our temperance, our self-control, they are together in our frontal lobe. And this is also where our spiritual discernment is. So if we have a healthy frontal lobe, we have spiritual discernment, we have willpower, we can make good moral choices. If we don't have a healthy frontal lobe, we cannot do that. So everything that adversely affects our frontal lobe will compromise our spiritual health and our connection with the Creator. It's like a GPS system. If you lose connection with the satellite, you get lost. If we lose connection to our Creator, we are going to get lost. And this is the antenna that connects us with our Creator. So everything that we do that will decrease, that will benumb our frontal lobe, our brain, will affect our spiritual life. And that could be overeating or undereating. That could be too much TV, too much study, too much work, no exercise, bad food, bad diet, bad drinks, everything. Because everything goes to the blood, and the bloodstream goes to all over our body, including our brain. So what is true temperance? True temperance is not, as the word says, moderation in what's bad. Oh, you can have a glass of wine every day, that doesn't matter. That's not going to affect you. That's not true temperance. True temperance is moderate use of what is good and abstinence of what is bad for us. Because God wants to restore us to His image. And our body is a part of us. We need to take care of it too. So true temperance means self-control. Means that the spirit is stronger than the flesh. It means that we walk according to our reason, to our rational beliefs, not according to our emotions and lustful desires. And why do we need to be temperate? Because it's impossible, according to spiritual prophecy, that intemperate people would achieve Christian perfection. And I'm not talking about perfectionism, you know, but I'm talking about the way the spirit of prophecy pictures perfection. And perfection and temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. So we pray for love, we pray for patience, we pray for meekness, for long-suffering, we pray for faith. Are we praying for temperance? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we want the gifts of the Spirit, but we're not looking for the fruits of the Spirit in the beginning. So of all men, physicians and ministers should have strict temperate habits. That's me and that's you. Why? Because people are looking at us. Because God chose us to be role models for the people. Because God chose you to be a role model for the people. And if you do it, the flock will do it. If you don't do it, they won't do it. It's like a father comes to the office complaining, my son never eats greens and vegetables. And I ask the parents, do you? And they say no. How do we expect that the people, the remnant church, will be temperate and will be awakened if we are not? If we, the models, are not? And temperance is a choice that we make every day, every hour, every minute, even now. It's a choice, and it's ours to exercise. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in the life. So temperance is a choice, and we are the ones that have to choose. When we have a thought, that thought leads to an action. When we do that action every day, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. So we have habits that are not godly. I have plenty of habits that are not godly because I come from the world and I struggle with every day. I need to change my habits, you know, gradually, progressively, as the Holy Spirit and the Bible, they give me the strength. So when we choose to change a habit, and we persevere, and we pray, we're gonna make new synapses, new brain connections, until finally we have the mind of Jesus in us. So remember, habits cannot be just erased like this from us. They have to be changed, and we need to choose to change them. If we don't make our choice and pray and give it the first step, how can God help us? So we have choices in life. You see, God gave us this food, but the enemy gave us this one. And the enemy is succeeding. Look at the world. God gave us this drink. The enemy gave us this. And this is everywhere. God gave us nature and sunshine and fresh air and water. But we stay indoors all the time with air conditionings, and we don't go out in the sunshine. We don't exercise. 90% of the time, Americans spend indoors. And so now we have 1 billion people in the world with vitamin D deficiency, and people with osteoporosis everywhere, and other problems. And especially here in the wintertime, we have 6 months of winter. If you don't enjoy the sunshine now, it's not only about taking a vitamin D tablet. Sunshine is way more than that. There's melatonin involved, there's growth hormones, everything for your benefit. And we have rest. We need to sleep. God made the daylight so we can work, we can study, we can do everything. And God made night that we could rest, just as He rested on the seventh day. But sometimes, instead of going home and going to bed with our lovely wife or husband, we get married to our books. And we get married to the library. So then we divorce our lovely companion and we get married to our theology. And that's something that we need to take care of it. We need to... It's very tricky, you know? So I want to finish with 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, we add knowledge. And to knowledge, we add temperance. And to temperance, the patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints, those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. How can we have the patience of the saints if we are intemperate? Ellen White said that's impossible. I mean, we cannot go two steps. I mean, it's one step at a time. Godliness. This is a ladder that goes up. And then we have phileo, we have brotherly love. When we love our brothers, when we give our lives to our brothers and sisters. And after that, that's agape, that's charity. And then after agape, that's heaven. So this is a ladder that God wants us to climb. So we may have all the knowledge in the world, as I had. You know, not all the knowledge in the world, but I knew everything about the human body and how to take care of my life. But what's the point? If I was drinking, smoking, using drugs, eating all kinds of bad things and not exercising and going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, or sometimes drinking a cup of coffee or a Red Bull and staying overnight all day to study. Can the brain absorb anything after 2-3 o'clock in the morning? It's way better to go to bed early and wake up early, and then you finish your studies. So temperance is important, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I got here at Andrews, I got here on Thursday night. And in 4 days that I've been here, 2 pastor wives came talk to me and my wife as a medical doctor. Anxiety, depression, panic attacks, loneliness, suicidal thoughts. What's going on? I mean, I don't know what's going on here because I don't know you and I'm not here all the time. But in 4 days, two persons, two souls came to me saying, my husband got married to the library and now I'm alone. So, if we come to Andrews University for a PhD or a master's degree or anything, and we get here, we have a lovely family, a lovely wife, lovely kids, and we have peace, and everything is in balance and in control. And when we leave the university, we have our PhD or our MDiv degree, but we don't have our wives anymore, and our kids are away from the church, and we're all stressed out, and our health is miserable, and what's the point? Have we succeeded? Have we succeeded in the plan that God has for us in this university? Just remember that, you know, I've been in the church for a year and a half, so I don't have much experience. And I know that some of you, and you know, my family is all Catholic. I don't have a history, tradition in Adventism. I know that some of you come from generations of Adventism. And God chose you as the leaders of the people today. So what you do can be a stumbling block to the flock and to the world, or you can be a blessing. And we can regain Eden that we lost only through self-control, only through temperance. How can we get to heaven if we don't appreciate God's creation, that's our body? And the divine power will be with us when we make that choice, when we choose to be temperate, and we pray for it, the divine power that withstood Jesus in temptation, the same power will be with us. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting. Was that because he wanted? Or because he needed strength to save us? He gained the victory over appetite. He gave his life as a living sacrifice. Shall we not give our lives in a living sacrifice to him? Is that too much? Isn't heaven cheap enough when we get there? So God is trying to pull us back to heaven, but we are clinging to earthly things. How can God get us to heaven if we don't get rid of the things that are attaching us to this earth? So this is temperance. It's happiness. It's joy. It's peace. It's clear mind. It's a happy family. It's when you go back to your house and your wife or husband is there with you, and you wake up and you have breakfast with them and you worship with the kids. This is temperance. Temperance is not studying 23 hours a day and 1 hour for eating, showering, and doing the rest. So this is the message that I have for you today. I pray that the choices that you make today, July 7th, 2009, a Tuesday, the beginning of a new term. I pray that these choices will give you blessings in the future, and that by the little choices that you make today will enable you to be better pastors and ministers. And I pray that we all understand that the little choices that we have, that we make every day, will determine our eternal destiny. And those choices need to be made now, today, not tomorrow, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Amen.